Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Ask Madison Radio Show, live from the UK. I am your Coach on Fire host, Susan Madison, the Mindset Shifter. And I'm very excited to say today's show is all about one of my favorite topics, mindset. No surprises there. So this is episode 3, live from the UK. If you are over in the States, you can call in and ask me and my special guest questions. The number is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And if you are anywhere else in the world, please message me or my guest, Raghav Parkash, via Facebook, and we will get your questions answered live on the radio. So then, what have I been up to for the last couple weeks? So you'll be pleased to know that we have been blessed with sunshine in the UK. So I have been out and about making new friends, visiting old friends. And on Wednesday, I was MC at an up-and-coming event in London called LoveX, where we were talking all about happiness, something that everyone pursues, but not everyone achieves it. And my intention for the show today is that for anyone listening, you will get a little bit closer and get lots and lots of tips and insights on how your mindset can help you get to that happy state, because it's very true that happiness is an inside job, and the more that you work on your inner world, your outer world changes. So that was Wednesday. And on Friday, I spent it in a rather unusual way. I wasn't out and about drinking like most folk, but I actually went to an astrophysics and cosmology lecture by the one and only Brian Cox, and ended up being part of a world record. So it turns out that Brian Cox's event got the world record for the most number of tickets sold for a science event. How cool is that? Geeks rock. So, but anyway, the reason why I'm saying this is Brian Cox opened his show with one of my favorite passages. And you may or may not know, I love words and quotes. And this passage is called Pale Blue Dot. And it really, really brings things into perspective. And it's when you get that change in perspective of yourself, of your world, the people in your life, that's where the magic happens. And that's when you start to shift. So I thought I'd kick off my show with that passage from Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot book, written in 1994. And for the music heads out there, it also happens to be sampled in one of my favorite drum and bass songs, Pale Blue Dot by The Prototypes. So here we go. Look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you have ever heard of, every human being that ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species live there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatreds. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that, in glory and triumph, they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this pale point of light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known to, so far, harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, like it or not, for the moment, there is nowhere else our species could migrate. Visit, yes. Settle, not yet. Like it or not, the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish this pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. So there you go. Pale Blue Dot by Carl Sagan. And it really, as I said before, it really, really puts stuff into perspective that, you know, we're all on this one planet, so why can't we all just get along? But anyway, that was me sharing the past couple weeks of my life. So now I want to get this show started with my guest, Raghav Parkash, who was also happened to be speaking at the LoveX event a couple days ago. And Raghav is a peak performance coach and fellow speaker, specialized in helping high performers and entrepreneurs be their best and live the extraordinary life they envision. And his passion is helping people discover who they are and how powerful they can really, really be. And tonight, we are going to go deep for 45 full minutes on mindset, the strategies that drive human potential, and how to install excellence and get results. So without further ado, Raghav, are you there?
Susan, thank you so much for the beautiful, warm introduction, and it's great to be here on your show. Thank you.
Brilliant. Excellent. Righty then, Raghav. So I gave you a little bit of an intro. So before we kind of go deep into the mindset for success, I'm curious. So how did you get into personal development?
Yeah, wow. I mean, long story short, I mean, that story itself is over 45 minutes. So to put that into a nutshell for you, how did I get into PD? So when I was younger, I went through a lot of challenges myself, you know, quite a few different hurdles from a lack of confidence, low self-esteem, you know, emotional eating. I went on some crazy ups and downs in my life as a, you know, when I was in school, as a teenager, into the first stages of uni, it was really all over the place, crazy. And
yeah.
I've got to a stage in my life where I just thought there's no way I can turn anything around, and the future looks so dark and so bleak, and no optimism, no hope at all. It looks so drained of everything that's possible. And
wow.
Yeah, through all of that, I was able to turn myself around to my life around. And I remember I was in dinner with my mom after all this happened, that created this big, big transition in my life. And we're sitting down together having dinner, and you know, she said, Raghav, you should be a motivational speaker. You're just really good at this sort of stuff. You know, you've had some amazing breakthroughs, amazing transformations, and I think you'd be really good sharing on stage. So I said, well, Mum, I'd love to do that. Do you think I'm motivational? She goes, well, actually, you're just a really good talker. You don't stop talking. But that was, she kind of dropped that in. But ever since she said that, I had this explosion got from my mind. And I'm not a motivational speaker, as you know. But it got me into PD, and I just became obsessed with peak performance coaching, which is why I do what I do, because it's these strategies, tools, the real insights that help someone be the best, to help anyone be the best. And the reason I really do what I do is if I had this technology, these tools, these ideas, these strategies when I was younger, I would have shortcutted a lot of that pain. But of course, I wouldn't have been where I am today if I had not gone through that. So I'm grateful I did. But when I came across peak performance coaching, I just thought, wow. I want to share this to the world. I want to do events, run big seminars, and just offer incredible value to the world around me and just get this message out, all these messages out as much as possible, and just spread hope and love and all the other good stuff through the world.
Wow, that's amazing. It's similar to mine. It's, you know, one of my frustrations. I don't normally get angry and frustrated, but for me, it's just like you said, it's like, why isn't this stuff being taught in schools? And this is one of my bigger missions, as I'm sure it is yours, is to get all these tools and learn how to use your mind. Like, teach it to five-year-olds. There's no reason why they can't learn this stuff.
I would love to do that. That would be incredible. Start with the younger generation and everything will start shifting. If you can start with the younger ones first.
No more broken adults. But anyway, for now, they keep us in a job, so no complaints there. So when you go on this personal development journey, like I know for myself, there's some key books and perhaps people that really, really kind of lit that fire within or dragged you out that deep, dark corner of your mind. So I'm curious, what are some of your life-changing books or maybe favorite books from the more recent years?
Yeah, well, there's a few different books I'm going to recommend. If I start just with the general ones that are quite well known, books like Think and Grow Rich is a beautiful book. Everyone should start reading Think and Grow Rich. When I heard about it, my mentor recommended it to me. I read it, and he said to me a year later, "Rag, have you read Think and Grow Rich?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "How many times?" I said, "One and a half." He goes, "Rag, read it 10 times more. Read it 10 and a half times more. You haven't read it enough because it's such a powerful book." So Think and Grow Rich.
And the audio book.
And the audiobook, read it together. It's a really powerful experience, audio and the visual. So you can do both. Think and Grow Rich is beautiful. It's the father of PD.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Man's Search for Meaning. Really powerful book, because it just shows you that if someone like that can go through such a journey of incredible suffering, then we have no problems.
Mm-hmm.
It just puts our entire life into perspective, which for me is the key of mindset, perspective. And then another book probably be... Well, there's one that I've come onto lately. This is more out of PD and more spiritual development, called Loyalty to Your Soul, The Heart of Spiritual Psychology. It's a beautiful book, the deepest, most powerful book I've ever read so far.
Wow, I haven't read that one. I'm scribbling it down. So what was it again? Loyalty to Your Soul.
Loyalty to Your Soul, The Heart of Spiritual Psychology. Because what it does is it encapsulates personal development really beautifully, but also makes it more real. So less airy-fairy goal-setting stuff. I mean, that's good, but it talks about the bigger picture and how we operate within the bigger picture and how our challenges are part of the bigger system of life. And if it's like spiritual or believe in something bigger, the higher force, it's a beautiful book. And it's the book I recommend to everyone now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, it's funny you're going on the spiritual vibe. So in my 20s, I was very, what the perception of guy-like, so very logical, emotionless, didn't really kind of express my feelings or connect to my higher self, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I went down that road, that's when the world really started opening up and magic and miracles and opportunities started appearing. Mm-hmm. So for those that are a bit scared of the woo-woo, you know, don't knock it till you've tried it. And to me, it's like, you know, it's a label. Everything's a label. So you want to call it God, universe, spirit, higher self, love, whatever. It's all the same stuff. And I think one of my books that really, really helped me when I was in a dark place of my drug addictions was Gabby Bernstein. So basically she takes, she's like the younger version of like our generation of Marianne Williamson, who, you know, studies the A Course on Miracles. And I really like the process she had in that book, which starts with, you know, first you got to witness. You have to witness what the problem is. If you don't recognize the problem, you can't understand it. You can't shift it.
Yeah.
So once you've kind of witnessed it, then you kind of need to be willing, surrender, kind of give it up. And then coming to that perspective, like Carl Sagan, like you just said, be willing to see things differently. And then it goes down, you know, once you've chosen the new perception, the gratitude, the forgiveness, and then opening up to miracles and then the reflection. So I really like that process, which I think both Marianne Williamson, Gabby Bernstein, and a host of other beautiful spiritual babes who've studied the A Course in Miracles. So that's kind of one of my life-changing books. And more recently...
A Course in Miracles. I'm good at all of that book. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a weighty tome, so I kind of went for the shorter version, which is okay. But more recently, I think I did actually tell you about this one whenever we last spoke, and it's more recent one, more on productivity, the 12-week year.
Yeah,
like that system. Have you? Well, you got to do the work.
Yeah, since you recommended it, I ordered it, but it's accidentally come onto the It's come through one of the US stores, so it's going to take like about 3 months for it to arrive in the UK, which is funny. So, yeah, it's on its way here. It was dispatched 1 month ago. It'll be here in 2 months.
Excellent. Well, Rang, as you know, I believe everything is perfect timing. So when it arrives, it will be the perfect time for you.
Exactly.
Cool. All righty then. So, Rang, you're a coach. I'm a coach. We've kind of touched on kind of why you became a coach, but I'm curious, what were you before you went into coaching?
You know, I'm quite fortunate because when I came out of university, I knew this is what I wanted to do. Even in my last year of uni, I knew this was the space. In fact, it was in my very last year of uni when I was having dinner with my mom at this famous chain of Thai restaurants in the UK. I was there with her, and it was in Biston, Oxford. And this is my last year at Oxford Brookes. And that's when she said, Rag, you should be a motivational speaker. So I've been really privileged in the sense of I found my calling at a really young age. And I believe everything happens for a reason. And this has always been my thing. So, of course, in the build-up to it, I haven't always been coaching full-time. I've been coaching full-time for the last 2.5 years, 3 years. And in the meantime, I've had to build the foundations for my business, my life, through working in different jobs, roles. I've been a business guy, so I'm talking sales, marketing, working in a creative company. And that's what I did whilst building my dream, step by step.
And that is something I would advise anyone in a startup mode or about to start a business is, got to get the foundations going. And it's probably best when you've actually got some money coming in to do that. So
yeah, absolutely.
There you go. So then let's move on to the topic of the evening, mindset. So I'm curious, very curious tonight. Top three ingredients for a success mindset.
Mm-hmm. What are my top three ingredients for a success mindset?
Yeah.
That's a really great question. I think the first thing that you've got to do is identify what that looks like for you, what a success mindset is, because for some people, a successful mindset is just an attitude of gratitude. Waking up, saying, good morning, I'm blessed. It's great to be above earth, I'm alive. And that's beautiful. Yet for some people like me and Susan who want to be high performers, the success mindset is seeing your result as accomplished, is done. In your mind, is finished. And because in your mind you already have it, it then manifests in reality. It becomes inevitability. So the first ingredient is just awareness about what success looks like for you. And without going off too much of a tangent, there's this idea of what is success. And success is really vague. It's just an open term. So you've got to define what is success in your terms? What does that look like? Yeah. And then what's the mindset you need to have to achieve that? So if success is being the best parent, that's great. You're going to have a different mindset to me and Susan that might want to be a top coach. It's a very different mindset. So number one, just knowing what it is you want and getting clear, getting focused on that, because that's what mindset is. Shifting your perspective to what's real and what you truly want instead of what you don't want.
Perfect.
That's the first thing. The second ingredient, I would say, is consistency. Because you don't get what you want. You don't get what you put out to the universe and what you keep visualizing. That's a piece of it. I love the law of attraction, the secret, but you get what you demand and command of yourself daily. So once you know what it is you want, you're clear about that, you're focused, you know the result, then you could inject consistency into what you do through habits, through rituals, through standards. Like one of the things that I do for myself every day is prime my mindset.
Yeah.
Every morning without fail, I wake up, I'll spend at least 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, just put such a powerful and engaging and beautiful ritual. I just get obsessed with it. But I prime myself, oxygenate my body, and then do some prayer, some forgiveness, healing. But then I think about what I want to do today, what I want to achieve, who I want to be, and I visualize myself showing up in that way. So it's just everyday consistency, programming your mindset to think about what you want instead of what you don't want.
And consistency, Rag, is something you are known for. Like how you've done your what's your daily thing called?
RP Daily.
RP Daily. That was it. Brain block there. And you are at over 500 days of consistently showing up every day.
Yeah, 509. And look, I say disclaimer. The other day I didn't do a Facebook Live. It was 2-3 days ago, and I announced it on my next Facebook Live because life happens. Maybe in the year I miss 3 days, tops 3 days. But because I'm a human being, but generally every single day I do a Facebook Live because it becomes a standard. It's a ritual.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah,
I love it.
Consistency. Yeah, no, I love it. The power of consistency is awesome. And number three there's two little bits there. There's two different ways I could go, but if I had to pick one,
yeah,
I'm probably going to say, because I want to stick with three, I'd probably say self-love. Self-love is important. The reason that's the third key to mindset is anyone can think positive. Anyone can be focused when life's going well. Anyone can be really over the moon and have the right mindset when the results are coming in. But the question is, when life doesn't go according to plan, who do you decide to be? And that is what forms mindset. It's how you respond. So instead of, you call it self-love, which is just loving yourself regardless, or I'd call it tapping to responsiveness, which is instead of reacting when things don't go according to plan, mindset is formed when you can respond. Because I think a great guy once said, life is 10% what happens and 90% how you respond. So tapping to responsiveness is mindset.
And it's really, really weird, Rag. Like, so basically, I've obviously written down mine as well. And they are very, very similar, except mine doesn't have the consistency bit in there. But I also have... funny that, right? Mine are... So belief. So yeah. My number one. The way I kind of define mindset is what you are thinking and believing about yourself. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm approaching any problem, I'm with a client or any, you know, workshop or any kind of scenario, I always kind of go back to what is this person thinking or believing about themselves, the other person, the story, the situation. So I will start with belief, which is kind of similar. And then I also have the focus self-awareness. You know, if you no goals, no focus, you'll keep getting what you don't want. Mm-hmm. And then self-love. I was like giggling to myself when you said that one as well. So it's not something people usually throw in.
Yeah.
So great minds, great minds.
Yeah, I thought I heard you giggling in the background. That's all that was.
Cool. All righty then. So we have the top three ingredients for the successful mindset. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's going to be many, many more things that come out this. Ooh, we've only got about half an hour left, Rag. So let's go with, you touched a little bit on your habits, practices, rituals. Mm-hmm. So you explained your morning routine, if you like. Mm-hmm. But what are some other rituals or habits that you have?
Yeah, so some of the rituals I do. Gratitude is the most important. I love gratitude. I always start my morning every single day with gratitude. It's just the most inspiring, beautiful, blissful way to begin your morning. And the way I took gratitude on was one of my mentors that he's a really good friend of mine. I'm privileged to, you know, work with him at times, share the stage with this guy, and he'll be speaking at my event later on in the year. Beautiful human being. When I met him 2-3 years ago, he was talking about his ritual. I went up to him after and said, "What is this ritual? You've got to tell me, what is it?" And he said, "Rag, every morning when you wake up, I want you to tell yourself, good morning, it's great to be alive. Today's the best day of my life. I am blessed." And he said that, and I really fell in love with it. Now, I've got my own little ritual because I shifted the words around to make it more me. You've got to personalize whatever it is. But every day for the past 2.5 years, I've had my own variation on that. And I said to myself, good morning, it's great to be alive. Every day is a gift. Every day is a blessing. Every day is a celebration. Today's going to be the best day of my life. And I say it again and again, about 7 times every morning. And I've done that so much over the last 2.5 years, it's become conditioned into my mindset. And like, you know all about this, Susan. Like, Susan's an expert at this, like conditioning and neuroassociative conditioning or reprogramming, whatever you want to call it. And every day when I wake up, this is firing off my head without me even thinking about it because I've done it so much. So gratitude is beautiful because you just light your morning up from fire. That's the first thing that I do.
Perfect. And it's weird that you kind of say that because people go, so it's like, how do you do what you do? Why do you think what you think? And I actually have to really sit down and think because it is. It's just so ingrained. I am just naturally happy. It's that knowing, doing, being cycle. You kind of read about this stuff and then you do it. And then you eventually just are that where you do just wake up happy and smile. I mean, one of the things that I always recommend to everyone is before you open your eyes, smile. Big smile, because that's like the mind-body connection. So as soon as you smile, because that's been conditioned since you were like day zero, whenever you've like giggled, laughed, happy memories, there's so much, like the neural pathways are so, so strong and laid down from the act of smiling. So literally every time you do it, it releases like the holy trinity of the chemicals, endorphins, dopamine, serotonin. So it's like really, really hard just smiling to try and be angry when you're doing that. So that's kind of my number one thing. And I kind of do that without even thinking about it. Just smile. Mm-hmm. Pick it up. So, okay. Do you have any other interesting habits, practices?
Yes, gratitude is the first one. And just because I want to start my morning in the best way. Gratitude is the highest, most beautiful, powerful emotion you can tap into, which is why I do that first. And then as soon as I do my gratitude, brush my teeth, just do my morning stuff, I go down to my office and I sit in my chair before I even look at emails, clients, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, all that good stuff. Then I prime myself. I do a priming exercise where I just flood my body with oxygen. And then I do a little bit of prayer. So I've got a few different things I do. I do some priming. I do some prayer and gratitude. So I spend a lot of prayer. All these powerful gifts around the world of love, compassion, forgiveness. I just imagine the world being flooded with these beautiful gifts across the entire planet. Going to my gifts. I'm going to my clients, going to all my friends, my loved ones, family, anyone that I've encountered in my life. I just imagine it spreading through the world, which is an amazing ritual I learned from Marie Diamond, actually, who's in The Secret. Amazing. She's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Like, she's stuff. So she taught that to us at one of the talks I went to. After that, as we're talking about mindset today, this is a powerful little ritual I do. I visualize my big, big vision, my overarching vision, the ultimate vision I have, all the things I want to achieve. And then I visualize myself showing up in that way and being that person today, doing all the things I need to get done today. I visualize that happening too. And I just enter the state where I think about me at my highest level, doing all the things I want to achieve, accomplish. And I just experience that. And that is a really powerful ritual you can do if you want to start adopting the growth mindset or positive mindset or an empowered mindset, thinking about what's possible and seeing it, believing it. And if you do that every day, you're going to trick your mind and program your mind into thinking that's who you are and that's what's possible for you. So it's an amazing little ritual that I do.
Yeah, no, it's really, really weird. They've done so many studies of that where, you know, they've had the, like, the piano players or the athletes. So they got one group, like the control group, actually doing this, the running or the piano playing, and the other ones just sat there visualizing this stuff, but really, like, seeing it, feeling it, hearing it. And it's weird, like, the results are kind of similar. Like, the piano player fingers who don't have the piano, like, their muscles develop. And athletes use it all the time. So it's definitely a peak performance and success strategy, actually visualizing. And I know it's something we both do because we know each other quite well. It's, you know, visualize who you want to be and then adopt the thoughts and the beliefs of that person that you want to be. So, yeah, visualization is a very, very powerful tool, which not a lot of people do. So if you're listening, get out there and do some visualization.
It's super powerful. And if you're a sports person, I heard this crazy story that there's this golfer that was put in prison for I don't know how many years. I'm talking something like 8-10 years. And all he did was visualize himself playing golf on his favorite course. When he was released from prison, he went down to single figures. So that won't mean much to Susan. I don't know if you follow golf, but he went down to single figure handicap.
Wow.
When he came out of prison, not playing for 8 years, bearing in mind golf is the most technical sport I've come across lately. It's so technical. If you go off for 3 weeks, you lose your form. And he came out of prison after 8 years and he went down to single figures because he visualized himself performing at his best in the course. And then his body naturally followed the process.
Wow. That is amazing. That is very, very impressive. Mm. So, okay. All right then. So what about, okay. So now we're talking about all the really the good stuff and how to get there. But what about some old habits and new habits? Like, what are the maybe more destructive ones that you used to do? I have many that I can share.
Yeah. I'll put this out there. This is one that beat myself up over a little bit. And I'm not going to lie about this because I have integrity, but I don't read as much as I used to. So every day I'm feeding my mind, I listen to something on YouTube or I'm always learning. Every day I'm feeding my mind of reprogramming it with something that I'm watching Facebook, whether it's one of my role models, leaders, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins. That's great. But that's very different from reading for me. So reading is something that I want to get back onto. It's a habit or pattern where I say, well, I'm just doing my business stuff and I don't make time for reading. But it's something I'm integrating more and more into my life. And I'll be reading every single day and reading 2 books a month, between 1 to 2 books a month.
Okay.
Because the more you read, the more you learn, the more you can do for the people around you.
Exactly. Yeah. No, as I was hanging out with some friends and they're like, how did you get to be like you are? And I'm like, they're actually shocked when I said I invest at least $6,000 a year in myself, at least $500 a month, at the very, very least. And they're just like, what the hell? And I was like, and then so they, I kind of shared as well, if we're going to talk about old habits and new habits. So in my 20s, I used to invest the same amount, if not more, on drugs, like 500 quid a month on various amounts of things. Now, I did learn a lot with that, but as you can imagine, investing 500 quid a month on coaches, mentors, going to events, experiences around the world, that's the thing that's going to really get you there. I mean, if you want to be this, I don't know, CEO of a company, or you want to change the world, or you want to know a business or love yourself more, and you don't know how are you going to learn it? Unless you read the books or go talk to the people and invest in yourself. And people always kind of go, oh, but I don't have that kind of money. And it's like, well, you don't need that much money to invest in yourself. You've got the internet. You can read books for free. It's like your time. That is the most invaluable thing that you can invest in yourself. So that's kind of a flip on my old habits versus new habits. And yeah, I think you can see the ones that are kind of getting me to where I want to be.
I really like that. Great, great insight for your listeners about investing in yourself. It's the best, and it's funny because that's the status I put up this morning when I was flying back from Edinburgh. I said that the best investment you can make is in yourself. That was my update this morning.
That is, I didn't read that this morning. So there you go.
No, it's we are like mine. Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Cool. So what else can we talk about? So I think I already know the answer to this one, but it's a question I like to ask. What's the one thing you do really well, and what's the secret?
The one thing I do really well. The one thing I do well is I'm really good at getting stuff done. So there's some things, okay, that I can do better, and I know that, and I'm always evaluating my performance because it's my obsession is being the best I can be. But the word Susan's probably thinking of is consistent. I just get, when it comes to my business now, okay, the thing with consistency is I'm not consistent in every area of my life. I'm consistent when it comes to my coaching and the things that are most important to me, because it's just perspective. So when it comes to my business, when it comes to doing actioning things, getting things done for my overall picture, I'm just really focused and consistent because it's just perspective. To me, someone said, but how do you raise your standards? Like, how do you do it? And I said, what's the alternative? Having lower standards, not having the life you want, not having the progress, not having the confidence. I just think, what's the alternative? And that for me is what shifts my perspective. Just what's the alternative? I ask that question. And that's what keeps me focused. If I don't do the daily Facebook Live, what's the alternative? Yeah. I settle. And knowing where it's just my journey when I was younger, I just have been there and I refuse to settle. I know what that's like. And that's the thing that drives me so much every single day.
Okay, so that's kind of your why, which is something that is actually really, really important. If you don't have that why, and if you haven't actually tapped into it, because I think whether it's the good behavior or the bad behavior, there's always a positive intent and there's always a why behind it. It's just half the time people aren't even aware of it, so they're not setting it intentionally. And I really, really am a believer that your intentions create your reality. And part of that is the why are you even bothering to do all of this? What's the big why? So another important aspect of mindset. So, I mean, what is your why, Rag? Why do you do this? What's your kind of big mission?
When I came into the PD space, my mission was, I don't want people to go through what I went through. I don't want them to struggle. I don't want kids to suffer. I don't want people to go through depression or emotional eating. And I'm talking both extremes, because I was really big and really thin. And I don't want people to go through that. And that's okay, but that's very away from. And I'm leading my life from I don't want this, I don't want that. And it's not as empowering because you get what you focus on. You focus on depression, you're going to experience depression. As I was saying, don't think of an elephant. So now my mission has shifted and I want to help people, but I want to spread empowerment. And I'm still finding the right word because empowerment was okay, but it doesn't quite excite me. But what that means, living empowered, I use it in my Facebook Lives, my events. Living empowered means you have what you need in your control right now to shift your life. Now, having coaches, having mentors, they're great, but they're not something you need. It's something you want if you want the best version of you. I'm talking peak performance, but you don't need peak performance if you're struggling. What you need is just to give yourself belief, focus, confidence, certainty, and action. And you have all of that within your control. So my why is spreading the message of living empowered, which is you've got what you need right now to create the shift. Be your own hero, be your own guru, be your own teacher. As Matthew McConaughey said in his beautiful Oscar speech, your role model should be the person you're going to be in 5 years' time, the person ahead of you, the best version of you. That's living empowered for me. So my mission is just to spread that message around the world, just to show people they've got what they need to live empowered. I want to give them the stuff for them to feel empowered so they can make any changes they want in their life in the future. They don't need a coach. They want a coach because they're rocking themselves. They're focused, they're ready, they're hungry, and I want to spread that to adults and to kids, like as many people as possible.
I love that. That's a really, really big, big, powerful why. And it's always, I think your why and your goals, like if you're not like a little bit scared of them or like super excited about them, they are not big enough. And that's what I say to people when they're like thinking about, you know, why do I need a coach or what are you going to do for me? And with coaching, you're kind of doing one of two things. You're either doing what I like to call shit shifting. You're kind of getting rid of people's shit, limiting beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. Or once they're all cleaned up and they've got that success growth mindset, then it's getting them to think really, really big and giving them those tools, the productivity, get all of those things to help them reach those ridiculously big goals that are actually going to change the world. And that's what I find, do you have like a favorite one, either or? Is there any, which side do you like working on?
When you say which side, so what do you mean by that, Susan?
So it's either, do you like working with the clients who are maybe like really fresh and new and they're, you know, learning to love themselves and get rid of their limiting beliefs, like actually, you know, seeing how powerful they are? Or do we actually love it when you've cleaned them all up and they're like good to go and then you're helping them achieve the big goals? Do you have a preference?
You know what? It's a bit of both. It's a bit of both. Now, the one thing I look for in a client is what both those two different cases have in common is commitment. That's one thing I look for in a client. Someone said, Rag, who do you work with? And yeah, I work with entrepreneurs and high performers and visionaries, and that's my someone I love working with. But really, I love working with people that are committed, people that just they want to go for the extra level. They just want more for themselves. So even if they're really low and they're feeling unconfident and need cleaning up, and that Rag, I really want to do this. And I'm sick and tired of this, and I want a better future, more compelling vision. Or if they're on the other side, but they're doing really well, and they think, Rag, I just want to grow my vision. I want to grow. I've got so much value I want to add to the planet. I just look for that commitment because that's the one thing which shifts everything. When you've got commitment, you can achieve any result. And that's what I look for in all my clients. And that's what I love, just their hunger, their desire for more from themselves.
That's, yep, that is definitely a good thing to have on your ideal client checklist. Because I always say, when, like speaking to anyone, whether they're my client or not, coaching doesn't work unless you do. Like I can give you all of this stuff, but you have to do the work. It's like you don't get the ass you want by sitting on it. And I can't do those squats for you.
I love that analogy. It's beautiful. I love that. Never heard it before.
Cool. All righty then. So mindfulness. Whenever, because that's kind of like one of the buzzwords around at the moment, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and I've always been a mindset coach because I generally believe, you know, always start with what you're thinking and believing. But I'm like, what do you think the difference between mindset versus mindfulness versus meditation? I mean, it's a question I get asked a lot. So I'd like to know what your view is.
Sure. Okay. Great question. And I look forward to hearing your view after because you get asked that a lot. There's a reason behind it. I love to hear Susan's. You've probably got a really polished, powerful answer. But let me have a look. So, okay, mindfulness is, for me, that's another word for self-awareness. So mindfulness is being aware of yourself. And what that really means isn't just how you look, is your head on properly, or do you have big, wacky teeth? What it's actually asking is, are you aware of your patterns, your behaviors? A great coach knows himself inside out. Now, there's blind spots, but they know themselves very, very well. Like, I know my patterns. I know where I'm underconfident. I know where I'm uncertain. I know where I allow fear to dominate my life a little bit. I know these areas really well inside out. Susan, if I ask Susan, what are your blind spots? What are your weaknesses? She'll know I get scared here. This freaks me out. I lose my personal power here. I get angry with this person. We know our patterns. So that's mindfulness. Yeah. Because when you have that, that's the key to victory, starting with just self-awareness. So that's mindfulness. Mindset is more about the focus. It's more about the future, more about the things you want. And, you know, it's funny. What's the other one? You said meditation.
Meditation. They're kind of not related, but it's something that always tends to get lumped in.
So meditation is like the first step because that brings you to the present. Meditation is just focusing on your breathing. When I first thought about meditation years ago, I thought it was some ancient Indian thing where you had to sit cross-legged, put your hands on your knees and do some humming. And meditation is just bring yourself into the present. And it's a now. Mindfulness is healing through the now. So it's being mindful. That's the next stage when you're like aware of your own patterns and habits. And then meditation is more future focused. And that's the difference for me. I'm curious, what about you, Susan?
Okay. Well, it's a bit strange because I've kind of got the mindset and the mindfulness kind of the other way around. So for me, I mean, mindset is literally what is going on in your head and how you choose to think and believe. And the mindfulness bit for me, that is the kind of the focusing on the now. Because, I mean, the reality is that everything is created in the now. Even like your past and your future, how you're perceiving your past and future changes and what you're believing in the now. So for me, mindfulness is like I have an alarm that goes off at 11:11 every day, and it reminds me to stop, breathe, and smile, just to kind of, you know, just to reset. Because it's I actually did a little research on mindfulness because giving a talk on it a few weeks ago, and I know a lot of statistics, 87.6% of them are made up on the spot, but I did research that. 48% of the time you were thinking about something else. Like it's very rare. Maybe, you know, maybe not the peak performers, but most people, they're generally not really focused on the task at hand. They're always worrying about, you know, what they're going to have for dinner tonight, what's going on, all the million and one things they got to do, et cetera, et cetera. And it's also a really interesting fact that I did want to share is that there's actually this number is way bigger than I thought it was. Every second, there's about 2 billion bits of information that your body is processing, dealing internally, externally. And you're not aware of this stuff, but between that and all the thoughts you've got going on in your head, it's very rare that most people are mindful of where they are in the now. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between mindset, mindfulness, meditation, the general theme and headliner between all of these things is that we're not meant to be living stressed out. And I think in modern society, it's like the natural state. That's why everyone's kind of like tired and unhealthy because they're like constantly pumping this cortisone and adrenaline all the time because they're just not taking that moment just to stop and breathe and focus on the task. So that's for me. But again, it's really weird for me to kind of study it because I think that's just how I have been for quite a while. Just a nice little Zen bunny. So that's mindset is more, you know, what you're thinking and believing, or how you choose to think and believe, mindfulness. And then meditation for me, it's like you said, like I think I meditate quite a lot. You can do it while you're walking, eating, stretching. You don't have to be sat there saying, meditating. But for me, it's also, you know, when Google doesn't have the answers, then get down on your ass and meditate and get those answers from within. So that's kind of how I'd explain those three.
Yeah, and I really like that. Beautiful.
I think anyone who's listening, go and find out about these things. Like the intention of the show today is kind of give you guys lots and lots of value, plant lots of seeds so that you can go forth and use the power of Google or Facebook, go find your mentors and learn a little bit more about mindset and how to create that life that you really, really want. So then, Rag, I thought that for this last bit of the show, if you're okay with it, you know, I think people have this perception that coaches are these superhumans and we have no feelings and we've put it all together. And there's no moments of self-doubt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought it would be nice for listeners to actually get what's really going on in the mind of a coach. Would that be okay with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's so funny. My second post edited today after the investing in yourself was a live Facebook Live on, is it okay for you to be vulnerable in public? And the answer, fortunately, to that was yes. I think it's a great idea. So I'd love to, of course, share what it's like in the mind of a coach. And you know, the biggest fear that we all have in common, every single one of us, the one fear that drives us is being good enough. Every single little habit, everything we do is around being good enough. So anytime we react, explode, it's that. So as a coach, that does come up a lot, especially for me when I was growing up and it's still there a little bit and I'm eradicating my working through it, is people pleasing. So I'm a recovering people pleaser. And that's one of the things that I'm, you know, working through myself. So as a coach, it's everyone thinks we have all this stuff nailed, but coaches are the most human people. Like, we're just humans that are working for our staff, and because we are, that's why we do what we do, because we're inspired to share. So
yes,
in the mind of a coach, there's lots of self-doubt and things don't go according to plan, because some things never do, especially in business.
Nope.
With uncertainty, the fears that come up. As for me, people-pleasing, that's another big one. And
okay.
I mean, those are two big ones for me that I work through regularly.
Okay.
And it's just part of the journey, strapping yourself in.
Yeah, and I love how you mentioned that I'm not good enough. So when I was first getting into all this stuff, you know, I had the holy trinity of I'm not good enough, I'm worthless, I don't deserve anything. And you kind of clean all that stuff at a personal level, but then you start your own business and, yep, all of that stuff comes up again in a different context. So it could come up in business, relationships. And there's a saying that I love, at every level, there's another devil. And the I'm not good enough, you know, that does come up for me a little bit, but when I'm walking the dog, one of the mantras, affirmations, whatever you want to call them, that I say to myself is, I am enough, I have enough, I do enough, and I know enough. So that kind of that goes around in my head quite a lot recently, because, you know, this is something how I explain what I do. It's like, I don't want to have coaching junkies, therapy junkies. I just want to give people the mindset and tools so they can deal with whatever life throws at them. That's the whole point of coaching, I believe. So, okay. So we've kind of touched on, you know, maybe what we currently have in our lives that we don't, that we no longer want, but what is it that you don't have in your life that you now want? What don't you have in your life that you now want?
I don't have my life that I now want.
It's a good question, isn't it?
It's a really great question. I mean, the first one is just because I'll share this because I was speaking to Susan about this, funny enough. And it's actually, I'd say almost a relationship in that way as well. So I've been really 50-50 about this. But now my energy, being at a wedding yesterday in Edinburgh, I made a decision. I made a conscious decision to the universe, if you believe in that. I just said, I'm going to put it out there. So it's someone that I can create with. You know, I believe relationships are really beautiful because when I came into this game, I thought, I don't want to be in a relationship because I'm not going to have enough time to achieve my vision and take over the world. Not that I'm trying to take over the world, but I'm
That's
not
okay,
going to have enough
right.
time.
You can
that.
Take over the world. Fine. It's allowed. You can have what you want.
Sweet. And you see, that's what I want. I want a relationship just because I believe behind every great man is a great woman. Behind every great woman is a great man, a king and a queen that can support each other in building their vision and dream. So that's one of the things that I love to attract to my life, because it made me more of a man, more of a human being, and great in every single way. And that's what my ideal partner would do for me. But the second thing is just taking my seminars around the UK. So I do seminars in London. I've got one coming up very soon, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
It's gonna be amazing. And it's just taking that and growing it and growing it and growing my brand around the world, because I was gonna spread a lot of these messages to people in the USA, in Asian countries and schools. So it's just taking my work around the world a lot more.
And guess what, Rag? Because I've obviously prepared these questions and I wrote down what my answer was for what do you not have in your life that you now want. And I find this is a very similar answer among the ambitious achievers, and it is the power partner. So ding. It is, yeah. So I was giggling to myself again while you were sharing what you know what you want in your life. Okay, so I think we've touched on, you know, what maybe the most common recurring negative emotion or thought. So mine was, you know, I'm not good enough, or I don't have what it takes. And yours was people pleasing. I mean, do you do negative emotions? Do you have them, Reg?
Yeah, we have loads.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, whatever you think about not being good enough, there's always an emotion which is created by thought. So the thought is not being good enough. And the emotion is you feel that warmth of the horrible, not even warmth, heat of rejection, heat of anxiety, fear, lack of worth. These are just emotions that we can feel when we think negative things and we put ourselves in a negative emotional home. So absolutely, I feel them a lot. But then the key is just to respond. It's okay to feel them. It's not okay to live there.
This is true. And the line I use is a queen or a king responds. They don't react.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, then. All right. So here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. Raghav, is What is critical for you to resolve right now?
I love that. That's a great question. What is critical to resolve for me to resolve right now? It's, again, something I'm working on daily, but it's really in my mind being the person that is living the life I envision, being that person today. Now, I know, of course, you're going to grow into the person, but it's having 100% certainty in who you are, in the good and in the bad. And I'm always open about this. There's very few coaches that I know maybe share this. Susan's one of the open, honest coaches, but I'm always working on who I am. I work very, very hard on myself daily. I work hard on myself through affirmations I do every morning, visualization, all this stuff. But obviously taking action combined with it too. But it's becoming the person that can live the life that I want, that can have the impact that I want, that can have the value. Now, yeah, that is inside of me, but only when mentally you completely get there 120% do the floodgates open up. So for me, it's just every single day to keep doing what I'm doing, these rituals, these habits. And that's the big shift I'm making right now in my life. And all my friends are seeing it. They've seen, you know, me and Susan were talking about it the other day about how all of us have shifted. And it's just doing this more and more regularly.
Yeah. And funny enough, that is my thing to resolve, is being more consistent. So maybe I'll be coming to see you a bit more often, Rag. Get some extra tips from you on being more consistent.
Yeah, okay, and I love the stuff Susan does, by the way. Just for all the viewers, Susan's stuff is just amazing. I've known her from the outside as a friend, and she's doing some really, really cool stuff. So Susan, when you, whatever consistency looks like for you, I'm going to be behind watching every step of the way.
Perfect. Thank you very, very much, Rag. I mean, right now I'm kind of focusing on the self-love. And I don't know if you've heard my talk or not, but how to start a love affair with yourself. I will be launching an intimate intensive in a month's time.
That's beautiful.
So I'm super, super excited, which is, funny enough, we both said it is one of the top three ingredients for a success mindset is self-love.
I
generally believe that. Like the one thing I do really well is confidence. People always ask me how I'm so confident. And my secret to that is genuine confidence comes from knowing yourself and loving yourself. So
For
those who want that, get to know yourself and learn to love yourself more. Which brings me on to my next question, which I've already answered from my part. What advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
What advice would I give to my 16-year-old self? The first one is love. First, just live with love. What that means is love yourself in every moment, regardless of what you go through, what you experience. Love yourself in the great moments. Love yourself when you don't go, when things don't go according to plan. It's okay for things not to go according to plan, and when they don't, love yourself, and that will heal everything. So love is number one. Forgiveness is number two. Forgive everything. Don't hold a grudge. The ROI, now I haven't done research on this, but it's pretty obvious without being a scientific guru. The ROI of holding a grudge is zero, probably negative. I heard a stat the other day, which is if you get more angry or upset or pissed off more than 4 minutes, your immune system goes down by 4 hours.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So forgive, heal. Even the people that might cause you pain, anyone, heal. And that's going to allow you to be the most strongest, powerful, incredible, talented, unstoppable version of you. Your confidence will soar. Your mindset will soar. You become more of an incredible human being. So love is number one. What else? Number two is forgiveness. Number three, just get focused. Focus on what you want. Focus on what's important.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. And on the forgiveness thing, that is something that I embody. You know, if anyone has ever done really terrible stuff, like stuff that's happened to me, people would term as unforgivable, but I forgive them. And it's a gift that sets you free. The analogy I kind of use is it's like you're holding on to this hot burning coal and you're expecting the other person to burn. Or, you know, you're drinking the poison, you're expecting the other person to die.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen like that. You're the one who's constantly choosing to be in that negative mindset and fire off all those negative chemicals, being pissed off at this person. Just give it up and let it go. Which
sometimes
you need a bit of help with that one. But so, like, similar advice again, it's like love yourself more and get to know how your mind works. That's what I would tell my 16-year-old self.
Gosh, I wish I'd come across Ho'oponopono when I was younger. That's one thing
I
want to
take to
source. That is a gift. And secretly, someone said to me the other day, Rag, if you get a tattoo, what would you get? And I had to chuck in, apart from cheesecake on your arm. I said, why would I get cheesecake tattooed on my arm? What's wrong with you? But they said, Rag, you've got to get Ho'oponopono or something like that, because I've been talking about it and I might get it done on my right arm. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Say it again, Rag.
I love it. Guys, if you haven't checked out Ho'oponopono, just these are the four sentences you need to remember. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Radical forgiveness is a ritual I do every single morning, 7 times. I say it again and again. I put my hand in my heart. I think about everyone who's either caused me pain or hasn't, and I just heal and forgive myself and them every morning. And it's a beautiful ritual. I've got no doubt Susan does that really well, because it's evident when you get to meet her, when you get to see her in person, she's really lit up. And her energy is the like of that. She doesn't hold grudges against people.
Oh, God, no, it's a waste of time. If you actually, like, saw me walking my dog around the woods around my house, I literally walk around saying, I am enough, have enough, I do enough, I know enough. I'm sorry, thank you, I love you, I forgive you. I, like, out loud, walking around the woods. So if anyone kind of was following me, they're probably like, who is this crazy chick? But doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. I don't really care. That's genuine confidence for you.
I love
so
that.
Then, right, we only have a few minutes left on the show. It's like flown by. Just want to thank you so, so much for being here. But I thought maybe we've got like a couple minutes left. So I wanted to know maybe about some of your biggest aha moments. So whether that's in life, love, work, business, let me, like, what were those times in your life where, you know, you really got something that shifted the way you think or the person you were?
One of the biggest aha moments I had is when I was reading this book, Loyalty to Yourself, Heart Spiritual Psychology. And I just emphasize it again, if you haven't heard of the book, guys, because it's not that popular in terms of how it's advertised, but what's in it is solid gold. What's within that book is solid, solid gold. And for me, one of the biggest aha moments was when they talk about suffering. And there's this big idea out there in the world that we want to end suffering. We want to eradicate suffering. And when I read that book, what it talks about is how suffering is so beautiful, because you can't get to where you want to be without setbacks. So what that book taught me is when you're going through a setback, don't view it as a setback. If you keep viewing it as a setback, if you view your challenges, as pain, as hurtful, they're going to stay within your system. They're going to stay there until you learn the lesson. Until you heal through what you need to heal through, you won't grow and you won't get the lesson, break for it. So whenever you get a moment in your life where you feel like things aren't going well or according to plan or you're suffering, ground yourself, get back into your heart, have love and compassion, and allow yourself to grow through that moment and learn what you need to learn. Even if it's being okay with that situation happening, if that's a lesson, you've grown and that will disappear and you're going to climb high up the ladder of consciousness, awareness, or spirituality, whatever you want to call it. But that's one of the biggest aha moments I had. It's about how you show, it's just letting go and being in all the moments that you go through, especially the painful moments, just allowing them to be, love and compassion, and learning and growing through it. And that is probably the, if you could give that to a kid, a child, that one lesson, I think that's the one lesson they need to know.
Wow, that is a very, very powerful aha. Okay, so let's see. If I can share one that's similar, I think, what's my one? Oh, okay. Yeah. So when I first started my journey into personal development, I did Landmark Forum. And on one of the first evenings for me, I was actually disgusted with myself that I actually thought I was better than people. I was like, oh, I know this much stuff. I earn this much money. And I was like, when I actually really got into it, I was like, wow, that is a horrible way to be. And I was like, literally, I was like, I felt sick that I actually thought that I was better than someone. So that was one of my biggest aha moments, that it doesn't matter that if I know about computers more than someone or coaching or whatever the hell it is, it doesn't make me any better or any less. Because that was the other thing, you know, I started working in IT at really, really young. So everyone was like double my age, etc. And I always used to think I was less than them, but that's not true. We are all the same. Everyone's story counts and everyone is important. That was one of my biggest ahas.
That's so beautiful. I mean, just on top of that, I love that what Susan shared. That's so beautiful. And the biggest shift I had lately in my life was when I was at a personal development event. A lot of you guys might have had a UPW. And I was just talking to a friend of mine and I had this big aha moment, which was, why am I talking about other people? And why am I, you know, there's this argument at PD about the personal development industry being good and bad, and what do you like about it and what don't you like about it, and this, the coach and that speaker and this trainer and whatever. And there's all this going on, and I realized I'd got caught up in that mess a little bit. And I even had commented on one or two things going on, and I just thought, that's not me. I'm not the type of person that gets involved in that mess.
No.
And I just decided I'm never going to talk about PD or people like that again. I was just done. I said, I never talk about people. It's just one of my standards. I don't like mentioning names or saying this person. And in that moment, I grew. But like Susan said, you're not better than anyone else. So it's just if you can keep your mission focused on you and away from what other people are doing, that will make you victorious. So I love what Susan shared. It's beautiful.
Exactly. Mind your own business. That's what I say. So then, Rag, we are at time. It has been awesome having you on the show. Like, we could on for days about this stuff, but I'm sure we will have you back again. But where can the listeners find you? What's the best place to get a hold of you?
On Facebook, daily. You'll see me daily on Facebook, RP Daily.
Of course.
And also, if they want to connect to me, so there's my Facebook and there's my website, raghavparkash.com. So those are both the places where I'm at.
Beautiful, beautiful. Alrighty, Rag. I'm going to wrap up this show and I will see you in the new future soon. But thank you for being on my show and happy Friday to you.
Happy Fridays.
Righty then. So that was episode 3 of the Ask Madison radio show. And as I usually do, I want to end the show with a quote. But before I go, the next show is in a couple weeks' time on Wednesday, the 14th of June. And I've got a really, really cool guest who's actually a champion racer. I grew up with him in Saudi, and it turns out he's the Drift King of Egypt. So we are going to be talking about the mindset of a champion. So please tune in to hear me interviewing Rami Seri, the Drift King of Egypt, on the mindset of a champion. But the quote I wanted to leave you with again today was inspired by my astrophysics cosmology evening. And it's another quote from an astronaut called Gene Cernan. And he says, curiosity is the essence of human existence, and exploration has been part of humankind for a long time. The exploration of space, like the exploration of life, if you will, is a risk, and we've got to be willing to take it. Thank you very much. I'm Susan Madison, the Mindset Shifter, and you've been listening to the Ask Madison radio show.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.